Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's NXT AEW Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour or so, we will be discussing AEW and NXT's weekly show here at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room. We can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A lot to talk about. We're starting our new format here on the show, and that is very simply, we're not going to labor over every single match. We're going to tell you our overall feelings. We're going to talk about certain matches, absolutely, and give you some results. But we're also going to talk to you about the world of pro wrestling in general a little bit more. And there is some things to talk about, starting, of course, with WWE's big backstage show with CM Punk totally bombing. Now, for the benefit of people who didn't know, this FS1 show drew about, 80,000 before CM Punk was signed. Then he said, I'm going to be a semi-regular contributor. I'll show up here and there. And of course, his first debut, I think they drew about 200,000 views, which led Fox to think this was going to be something that was going to be major. Then the next week's show did a little better. Didn't do 200,000 views, but, it did better than the 80,000 had started with. CM Punk comes back this week, and, nobody watches. There's no boost. It's not close to 200,000. It's not close. And the reason it's not close is because this is not what people want CM Punk to do. So CM Punk says, I kind of like the dog food angle. Yeah, you think? How can a man who supposedly rubbed the dead ashes, remains of Paul Bearer in The Undertaker's face, not enjoy someone rubbing dog food in someone's face who calls himself the big dog? This is what I told you to begin with, folks. This is bad guys got to do bad things. This is what CM Punk says. Maybe I should get part of that check, because a couple weeks ago, CM Punk said, the horrible thing with Baron Corbin, that's just terrible with a big dog suit. That's dumb. That's stupid. All of a sudden, he woke. He's woken. Oh, no, this is good. Bad guys doing stupid things to get heat. That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, you think? So no big push for the show's ratings with CM Punk returning for the second time. That's bad news for Fox. I'm sure they thought this was going to lead to bigger and bigger and bigger ratings. It's not. Also, we had mentioned, we had teased, we were going to talk a little bit about, and then did not get a chance to on last week's show, about Charlotte Flair and Andrade both simultaneously filing for copyrights to their names. Charlotte Flair copywriting Ashley Flair. And Andrade copywriting a couple of his former names. And, you could say what you want. You could say, well, that's just, hedging your bets, keeping, being a smart business person and just in case things don't work out. But, that's very funny. That's very funny they both did it at the same time. So we'll be talking a little bit about that stuff later. We'll be getting to the AEW show and whether Jon Moxley will indeed join the inner circle of Chris Jericho, and we will be talking about the number one contender crown for Adam Cole's NXT Championship. But before we get started, something very interesting happened that I need to discuss here in the world of professional wrestling, and that is a very well-known and very well-respected, I don't even want to call him an indie wrestler because he's been in some major federations. I'm not going to say who he is, and I'm not going to say which one. But suffice to say, he's on a televised, or was on a televised, wrestling federation. Posted on his Facebook that, I know I'm going to get heat for this, and I know it's not the correct way to be, but I am a fan of professional wrestling. That's what his post was. And I wrote back. And I said, well, you goddamn well better be. Because if you think that you can separate the two, then you're insane. But this goes to show you what I've been talking about on this show for a very long period of time, and that is the new mentality of professional wrestlers. There are professional wrestlers apologizing for being fans. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. If you're a musician, do you have to apologize for liking music? For being a fan of other artists? Do you have to do that? Do you have to apologize for that? If you're a gourmet chef, do you have to apologize for liking food? Or enjoying other cooks' versions of dishes? Only pro wrestling has this mentality, and I'm going to tell you where they get it. They get it because they think they're a real sport. That's where they get it. So it's uncool for a football fan to say, well, I'm a football player, to say I'm a fan. Well, you can't be a fan, because you could admire a player that played at one period of time, but you can't be a fan of another team and be on another team. And you can't, you know, you don't play for the fans. If you're a football player, you don't play for the fans. You don't hot dog for the fans, because you got a bigger goal, and your goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win games and actually, you know, help your team win. If you're a baseball player, you know, the fans want you to hit a home run, but if you go up there and swing for the fences every time in situations, that's not good for the team. So, no, you don't play for the fans in quote-unquote real sports. You play for the team. And if the fans like what you do, that's fantastic, and they're a big part of why your paycheck is so good. But the bottom line of the situation is, you're playing because you're trying to achieve a goal, and the goal is you want your team to win. Pro wrestling has no such goal. Pro wrestling is a play. That would be like an actor saying, I hate to say this, but I like movies. It's unbelievable, really. It's unbelievable. Do you have to apologize for that? And that's the mindset currently of wrestlers, is, oh, I know it's not politically correct. Why isn't it politically correct? What, are you all morons? I'm too cool to be a fan. I'm in the biz, bro. We're not fans. Get over yourself. You have no goal. Zero. You know what your goal is in professional wrestling? Please the fans. That's it. That's it. I don't care if you don't know four moves. If the fans flock in there to see you, you're going to be big in pro wrestling. You know why? Because it's not a sport. It doesn't require you to be the most skilled person in the world. That's fine if you got all that skill and can please the fans. Go ask Dean Malenko. You know, you think anybody's a better wrestler than Dean Malenko? Go ask him, how hard is it to get to the top, man? How hard is it to, you know, please those fans? How many Dean Malenko figures are they selling? How many Dean Malenko posters were up on kids' walls? How many Dean Malenko fans flooded the arena to say, Malenko? Nobody. He could be the greatest wrestler in the world, and he probably is one of them. And the bottom line is, it didn't amount to anything, did it? Because at the end of the day, professional wrestling, there is no goal except to please the fans. It's like, and, oh, no, it's not true. Well, it is true. Because I got news for you. If no one showed up to watch a football team, the team's still going to play. They're going to take a financial hit, a big one. But that team's still going to finish the season if they got four people in the audience. Because they have a goal, and the goal is they have to try to win as many games as they can. If a play sells no tickets, they're not performing. If a wrestling card sells no tickets, you're not performing. you have more in common. If a movie sells no tickets, the projectionist is not playing the movie. You need to understand that you have more in common with the movie and the play than you do baseball and football, and get over it. When you have to apologize as a professional wrestler for being a fan of professional wrestling, and you're going to sit here and tell me I'm getting paranoid when I say pro wrestling is near dead? Oh, it's the greatest time ever for pro wrestling. Yeah, there's more federations. But when you are taking a look and saying these wrestlers firmly believe if I'm a fan, I can't successfully be a pro wrestler because my goal is not to please the fans. My goal is to, I guess, win a title. But no one wins a title in pro wrestling. You don't win a title. Get over yourself. You're handed it by a promoter who decides you're the one he wants to put it on. Now, you could argue with me, well, my skill and my great matches has got me to this point where he likes what he sees. Bullshit. Bullshit. You ask that same promoter, if you got a guy who is as skilled as Dean Malenko and doesn't draw flies, or Enzo Amore, who knows four moves but packs the arena, who's going to be your champion? They're going to tell you Enzo Amore. Period. So you have to break this mentality. If you are a indie wrestler or you are starting out in this business and you are listening to this show, understand one thing. Of course you have to please the promoter that's hiring you. But you know how you please that promoter that's hiring you? By pleasing the fans. That's it. Not by doing some moves that some other guy in the dressing room is like, yo, bro, that was impressive, man. That was cool. While the audience sits on their hands. Nobody cares. You're not there to impress your fellow workers. You are not there to impress a friend of yours from Hoboken. You are not there to impress your Aunt Tilly watching on YouTube. You're not there to feed your own ego. You're there to give the fans a good time. And if you do that successfully, they will come back and they will remember who you are and they will follow your career and you will be successful. If you hide in a bubble and say, all I need to do is hit my spots, man, and I need to impress my fellow workers that I belong here and I'm a top athlete. No, well, you're going to go down quick. You're going to go down the tubes quick. I want everyone to remember that there was a Canadian wrestling champion by the name of Mark Lewin. Oh, no, he was a real wrestling champion, okay? Like Kurt Angle type. You know, he wasn't Olympic, but he was a real wrestling champion. And in pro wrestling, he was a champion in Canada. Most boring guy you will ever see. Middle-aged, dressed in just like a, you know, onesie type thing, and hammerlock, arm lock, hammerlock, arm lock, hammerlock, arm lock, hammerlock, arm lock. That's all he did. Couldn't get arrested. Cut 75% of his hair off, put paint on his face, pretended he couldn't talk, changed his name to The Missing Link, and had a huge, colossal career as a heel, doing nothing but headbutting and biting people. Okay?
60 seconds.
Headbutting and biting people. That's it. Remember the Purple Haze? That was Mark Lewin. The Purple Haze. Yeah, Mark Lewin was a wrestling champion too. Did nothing until the Purple Haze came up. What did the Purple Haze do? Did he do quality wrestling moves? No. You guys all got to get over yourselves. When a wrestler who I deeply respect and I happen to think is a real student of pro wrestling and someone who cares very much about his performance and the actual business of pro wrestling has to take to Facebook and apologize, literally apologize, but say, I can't help it. I'm a fan. I know this is going to cause me heat in the locker rooms, and I know it's not politically correct. I shake my head in disbelief and say, is this where we're going? Is this where we're going? Mike, it's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. I want to add to your play analogy that you were talking about. There are, I would wager to say, the vast majority of plays that appear on or off Broadway are, you know, are the one-night things. They don't make a lot of money. They only stay around a short amount of time. Unless you get something that catches fire, or you get a known quality, like, say, I don't know, Grease, and you get the good enough actors to carry it off, it's not going to stay around a while. Well, that's wrestling. If you don't, that's a wrestling company. They're in the business of putting on a play, an athletic play, but a play nonetheless. You know, and if the actors aren't good or the writing isn't good, that play is going to, and that company is going to shut down or not do enough business to stay afloat, you know? So that's that, you know?
Look, the analogy is a good one. Pro wrestling, it has more in common with a play than it does a game of baseball or football or soccer or hockey. Because in all of those other sports, there is a goal to be reached whether you have fans or you don't. In other words, it's not impossible for a team that has never sold out their stadium and doesn't even come close. It is very possible for that team to catch fire and win the title or win the World Series or win the pennant or win the Stanley Cup or whatever it happens to be. It is very possible for a professional boxer who has no fans and no one would pay a dime to see him to knock out the champion. It's not likely, but it's possible. I.e. Buster Douglas. Because they're there to achieve something or attempt to achieve something. And what they're trying to achieve is win a title, have their team be successful, whatever. All wrestling revolves around pleasing your audience to bring them back. That's all. That's all. An actor doesn't go into a play and say, I don't care if the fans like me tonight. I don't care if this play is successful. I just want to impress upon other people what a great actor I am in case there are other producers watching. So I'm going to steal the lines from, you know, other people, and I'm going to be much more dramatic, and I'm going to go off cue and off script. No, you don't do that. Because you understand the audience is there, and they're the ones that paid to be entertained. In other words, here's the big difference. The football game is happening anyway. If you want to pay to see it, terrific, but you in no way change what happens on that field. You're just a fan. You're there to observe a team attempting to achieve something. Pro wrestling is not that. Pro wrestling, the fans are the reason that there's even a show. No promoter is going to say, nobody showed up, I didn't sell one ticket, but let's fight because we got to figure out who the champion is. Because that's the main thing. They're going to say, well, what's the good is it if there's nobody here to see it? Doesn't matter. You know how many indie shows have been canceled because enough tickets weren't sold? I thought the fans didn't matter. What do you mean enough tickets haven't been sold? You guys got a goal to reach. There's gold on the line. There's nothing on the line. There's no real titles in pro wrestling. There's no real wins and losses in pro wrestling. It is a play. And this is coming from a man who loves it. Not in any way denigrating pro wrestling. But much like I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you are a woman when you're really a man. I'm not going to tell you, no, you really are a sport, pro wrestling. You really are. You really, really, really are. You're a sport when you're not. And you're not. You're an exhibition. Doesn't mean the people who are doing it aren't athletes. What it means is that there's no goal. There's actually no goal to be achieved. You may have personal goals. I'd like to be the champion of that federation one day. I'd like to get to the point where the fans like me so much that the promoter has to make me the champion. That's a goal. But it's a goal based on the fans. Because once again, you could be able to beat somebody's ass left and right, uphill and down. And if the promoter says you're losing, you're losing. So your skill has nothing to do with it. The little bit it does have to do with it is if you can make your skill count and the fans embrace that, then that matters. If you can get fans to say, wow, he's a fantastic wrestler, when really you're only mediocre, yeah, you're going to go far. But if you can't get the fans interested in you and you really are a spectacular wrestler, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to burst everybody's bubble. I'm sorry to be the guy that says there's no Easter Bunny. But if you are a indie worker saying my goal is to be a champion and to have such skill that I would have to be considered among my peers a champion, you are going about this totally wrong. Your goal is to make that audience go home talking about you and not somebody else. You know, people ask me all the time. I had a promoter, again, I'm not going to drop names, but I'll tell you this. A huge name in the world of professional wrestling. Huge, huge, huge name as a promoters, as a family of promoters in pro wrestling. And one of the elder members of that family, who was a promoter, said to me one time, you do have an uncanny ability to pick out the guys who are going to go places in wrestling. You know, you come to my shows and you say, that guy, that guy, that guy. And sure enough, a month later, that guy's signed with this. This guy signed with that. This guy's moved on to bigger things. What is it that you see? How come he's better than somebody else? Because we had him in the prelims. You know, we had him in the as enhancement talent. What did you see in him? I always say the same thing. It's not what I saw in him. All I have to do is look in the audience. I see some guy come out named John Smith with blue tights and a buzz cut hairdo, do 15 flips, 14 super kicks, a couple of suicide planchas, and fans are going for popcorn. I see some guy come out that's unique. He looks different. He acts different. He connects with the fans and doesn't do all those fancy moves, but the fans are not going for popcorn. They're watching what he does. They're booing or they're cheering him, and I say, that's the guy. Because he is making a connection with the audience. He knows enough that this isn't his own personal little playground and you just happen to be peeking through the fence. He understands that this is the fans' playground and he's there to entertain them. That's all. That's all. It's not rocket science. I've said that a million times. It's not rocket science. So I thought this struck me as very odd. So I just thought I would mention that. And believe me, if you're a pro wrestler and you're listening to this, be a fan. Because how the hell are you supposed to know what a fan would like if you're not one? Well, it's not important what the fans like. Well, what is important? Please call me up and tell me. Enlighten me. What's more important than what the fans like when that's the whole reason you're doing the show? Anyway, let's get on to NXT and AEW because both of these guys presented some unique things this week. I'm going to start out with NXT where we started out with probably the best match on both shows this week, and that is Lio Rush, Angel Garza, who just tore it up. Tore it up. Now, this is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Lio Rush did a whole bunch of things wrong when he first came to the WWE and NXT. Didn't he? He He made fun of Emma getting fired, which was not his place to do. Got reprimanded by a lot of the boys in the locker room and other brands saying you need to learn your place and shut the hell up. Pushed the envelope when he was in WWE saying I shouldn't be a manager. I should be their top star. I'm more talented than all these people. But the way he connected with the crowd was by eventually just shutting up and doing his job. However, enter Angel Garza, who I don't think is as good a wrestler as Lio Rush. But you want to talk about connecting with the crowd. And so the powers that be say, you know what, Lio Rush is great, but Angel Garza is connecting with the crowd a little bit more right now. I think we're going to get better feedback from an Angel Garza title reign than we are a Lio Rush reign right now, and they give Angel Garza the title. I'm not saying Lio Rush is not connecting with the crowd. He is, but Garza is connecting more. And so Garza's the champion. You think Adam Cole is the champion? Because he's the greatest wrestler they have there. No, he's connecting with the crowd big time. Big time. And that's why it would be a huge, gigantic, colossal mistake to give it to Finn Balor, because as good as Finn Balor is, Finn Balor gets the respect cheers. We respect what you did, Finn, but we're really not that into you. Oh, he's a name. We remember him. Yes, he's good. But we're really not that into you. People are going to be rooting for Adam Cole. And they're both heels. He's not going to lose the belt to Finn Balor. Because NXT very clearly knows Finn Balor's not connecting with the crowd the same way that Adam Cole is. Now, Tommaso Ciampa and Keith Lee, he could lose the belt to either one of those. It's not going to be to Finn Balor. But this match, Todd, outstanding match. You'd have to say this is an A-plus match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with an A-plus match right there with Garza Jr. and Lio Rush. And Garza Jr. is connecting more with the NXT fans more than Lio Rush right now as the Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's doing an excellent job, Mike, and this was some match.
He really is, and that's the thing. I mean, AEW has, what's his name, the Spanish guy that they say reminds you a lot of Eddie Guerrero. No, I think Hector Garza reminds me more of Eddie Guerrero than that other guy does, you know?
Yeah, Angel Garza is definitely a more of an Eddie Guerrero type, yes. You can see a lot of Eddie Guerrero in Garza. There's no question about it. And just as a side note, he apparently proposed to his fiance after the match, and she said yes, so fans were all into that. I don't know how long Garza is going to be a heel if you're going to propose to your fiance in the ring, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. Let's go to Breezango versus the Singh brothers. Look, Breezango's a very entertaining tag team. They reinvent themselves every week. They come out of something different. They're police, they're doctors, they're male strippers, they're you name it. That's what they do. They got a good little shtick going here. And once again, Tyler Breeze is a great wrestler. And if you think Fandango is a joke, that guy is really, 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 really good. Probably a lot better than he's shown in years or been able to show in years. But they understand the entertainment value, Mike, and they're very good at what they do. Singh Brothers, too, understand the entertainment value, and they're very good at what they do.
Right. They really do. You know, and think about it. These two guys have done everything they've been asked to do, you know, in terms of entertainment value. I mean, you keep mentioning Enzo. There's a reason why when Enzo showed up at that pay-per-view and just did his shtick, stood up on the chair and did his shtick, that the fans paid more attention to him than they did to the match at the time. There's a reason.
Absolutely. And the reason is he's entertaining. He's the guy that says, watch me. He's the guy that is there for the fans. I just don't know how much more I can stress that. If I opened a wrestling school tomorrow, I'm going to be brutally honest with the people I train, and I'm going to tell them, I want you to be the best you can be athletically. But I also want you to understand that it's going to mean nothing if you can't connect with the fans. It's not going to mean anything. Do you know how many great actors there are in Hollywood that have never, ever gotten a lead role in their life? They're fantastic actors. They work hard at their craft, and they're always 15th down. Larry the Cable Guy has starred in how many films? Hulk Hogan has starred in how many films? Steven Seagal has starred in how many films? Why do you suppose that is? Are they better? You know, Hillbilly Jim said a very interesting thing. Hillbilly Jim said, when he was asked about his two gold records, well, he has two gold records for Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy and Waking Up Alone, which was both on the wrestling albums, Pile Driver, and I don't remember what the other wrestling album was, but two wrestling albums. And he said, you know, I will go into a bar or a nightclub, and sometimes there are musicians there, and I will watch these musicians playing in front of 65 people, 100 people. And I understand they are infinitely more talented than I am. I don't play, you know, anything. I barely sing. And I have two gold records on my wall. And they're playing in front of 100 people. And there seems to be something really unfair and weird about that. But that's just the way life goes. It's not what you do. It's who you can please and the audience that you have. No truer words have been spoken. And this is why it is dangerous for professional wrestlers to think it's not okay to be a fan. Anyway, let's continue here. We have Mia Yim versus Dakota Kai. This match was quite good, but then at the end, Mia attempts to put Dakota through two tables. They only hit one. The only thing that hit table two, unfortunately, was Dakota's skull, which required 8 staples to close the wound. She's fine. She said she's not going to miss any time. She doesn't have a concussion, none of that stuff, but she's very lucky. She's very lucky. And this goes to show you what can happen. When you're going through two tables, you know, it's tough. You got to hit that first table right, because otherwise it'll slide off the second one, won't it? It'll slide off the bottom one. Or you won't hit both of them. One will break and change your trajectory, and the next thing you know, you didn't hit the second one. It's not as easy as it looks, and that's why oftentimes when hardcore wrestling gets shat on by fans who say, it's not really wrestling, well, what are you talking about? There's a skill to that, too. And it's highly dangerous, some of this stuff. And yeah, you got to know what you're doing, man. And you got to do it right. So a pretty good match, Mike, but, you know, sorry to hear about the Dakota Kai incident.
Right, and it just... Yeah, she went through a table, but it just proves our point about people like, I don't know, the smaller wrestlers like Sasha Banks and stuff that don't have the weight to break a table. You know?
Right. Yeah.
These two girls, both Mia Yim and Dakota Kai, are in the 125 to 135 pound range. That's a good sized girl. That's a good sized woman. You know?
Right.
And when you put a woman that size through a table, she's going to go through a table. Yeah, she missed the table, and it was sort of a blown spot, but that's not my point. My point is you can't be doing tables matches with smaller wrestlers like, you know, Sasha Banks and people like that, you know.
Unless you really, you know, work those tables and pre-cut them or whatever the hell you're going to do. But you're right. You know, the force it takes to drive a 100-pound person through a table is not the same force it takes to, you know, drive Brock Lesnar through one. Brock Lesnar just lays on one and it's bending. Takes a lot to put Sasha through one. So you really got to put some impact behind that if it's not rigged, if it's not worked. So, yeah, absolutely. Cameron Grimes loses. Who was it? Mendoza beat him thanks to Kushida, who stole his hat. Todd, this is a good feud, I guess, between Kushida and Grimes, but I don't think I would have had Grimes lose.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have had the other girl lose than Grimes.
That's a guy, Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes, I mean. Yeah. Like you said, I don't think I would have not Cameron Grimes to lose or anything to the other person.
If you're going to have Kushida really have a feud with Cameron Grimes, I don't like the idea of Cameron Grimes being pinned, Mike.
I don't like it either, but this Kushida proves your point again. Why do you think Kushida is so popular?
And right, he's not, connecting with the
fans. He's not able to speak the language, but why do you think he's so popular, you know?
Right.
You know, him and, of course, our other Japanese wrestler used to be with and Dana Brooke, you know, and Titus Worldwide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they get themselves over. They can't talk the language, but they get themselves over by facial expressions and how they act and the gimmick as well. That's
body language. Yeah, look at how happy he was to be wearing Cameron Grimes' hat. You know, yeah. Listen, pro wrestling, and I'm specifically talking now to people who are in the business. Pro wrestling is a business where, let's face it, a theme song can get you over, a catchphrase can get you over. Way, way more than your finishing move, or way, way more than your suicide plancha or your triple corkscrew plancha can. Let's face it. Look at Neville or Pac, whatever you want to call him. That red arrow thing he does, that's tremendous. It's not more tremendous than the List of Jericho. Okay? That's the deal with pro wrestling, folks. You can't resent it and be a part of it. And I think there are some workers who do. Oh, no, that shouldn't be what gets somebody over. It shouldn't be the case. You're like the actor who says, I do Shakespeare in my spare time, Shakespeare in the Park. I can do 14 different accents until I can make anyone believe I really am from that district. And Steven Seagal is a blight to the industry because he doesn't deserve what he gets. No, he's entertaining the fans. And you're not. That's why they go watch his movie or they pick up his DVD and they're not clamoring to see you. So find a way to make them clamor to see you. And lo and behold, you'll get it. Simple as that. It's as simple as that. Dewey Robertson, I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's Dewey Robertson who was, of course, the missing link. He's talking about the Purple Haze, though, as well, Mike Lewin. And both of those guys, great actual wrestlers, shooters, couldn't get nothing done until they changed. Let me ask you a question. You think George the Animal Steel is a legend? Please explain to me his wrestling prowess. Why did he make such an impact with the fans? What was his wrestling prowess? He tore turnbuckles off with his teeth. He bit you. He headbutted you. He stomped you. He choked you on the ropes. And he picked you up in a hammerlock press. That's what he did. The reason he will be remembered forever is because of the way he looked and the way he acted and the way he connected with the fans. And before anyone minimizes George the Animal Steel and says, yeah, but he wasn't a good wrestler, he was one of the best. And I'll tell you why he was one of the best. Because George the Animal Steel took a character that was so terrifying that when you watched him in his early days and he came out, there were children and women who would run because they really thought they were unsafe. They really thought this man is a lunatic. He's absolutely a lunatic. And there were people who were horrified by George the Animal Steel, horrified. He took that character and years later made it the most gentle, lovable, childlike character that even the most timid of children embraced. That takes skill. Takes a lot of skill. And he was able to do it. And I'll take a guy like that every time over a guy who says, I know 652 moves. I don't care how many moves you know. I care if you connect with that audience. Because I'm putting on a play here. And like Mike said before, it's an athletic play, but it's still a play. And I need you to connect with the audience. Anyway, the big match in NXT, of course, was the three-way to decide who the number one contender was. And that number one contender is Finn Balor. This was a really good match. I don't know. I guess the reason they had Finn Balor win is because we still have those other two matches, don't we? So you've got a full plate if you're Adam Cole. You figure we're going to get a great match out of Finn Balor, Adam Cole, but you're also going to get Tommaso Ciampa. You're also going to get Keith Lee. You're going to get these guys eventually anyway. So I guess they figured this is the first step. So in a weird sort of way, it's almost like the winner of this match was the loser because he gets Adam Cole first, and you know Adam Cole's not losing because there's Tommaso Ciampa waiting in the wings and there's Keith Lee waiting in the wings, and they want those matches. So while it was a really good match, Todd, it was also predictable to a certain extent because you had to figure that whoever won was going to be, you know, only the first guy in the series of three to fight Adam Cole.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good match, but it was predictable as well. And we all kind of knew who's going to face Adam Cole at the end of the night.
I mean, I don't know as I knew exactly who was going to win, Mike, but I knew this. Whoever was going to win, they weren't going to win the title because the other two guys would be waiting in the wings.
Right, and I could have told you who was going to win because, one, I don't know how long Keith Lee is going to be in NXT. If Vince likes him that much,
yeah,
he's not going to stay there long.
Yeah, I agree. And Tommaso Ciampa's already said he wants no part of going to the WWE, SmackDown or Raw. So you have to assume Tommaso Ciampa's once again going to be the champion. Probably Adam Cole will get by Balor somehow and get by Keith Lee. And you're right. Keith Lee is probably going to make a debut really, really, really quickly in WWE. Anyway, over in AEW, Chris Jericho, after a very quick victory by John Moxley over Alex Reynolds, Chris Jericho offers Moxley a opportunity to join his inner circle. And he mentioned some very interesting things. He mentions, you know, you asked my advice when you first got to WWE about how to get over as a new performer, and I was instrumental in helping you come here. You asked my advice on getting here and things. And if you trust me that much, why wouldn't you trust me here? That's an interesting play. We all know Moxley is not going to join because then that match would be null and void, and that's what you're building to. But I do think, Mike, it's an interesting angle.
It is an interesting angle, and think about this. What are they having? How are they having Moxley come to the ring? Number one, he's coming through the crowd like the Shield used to do, right?
Yep.
Number two, one of his guys that was in his original group, the crew back in Heartland Wrestling, is there, and that's the guy that's with the Blade.
Right,
you know? And so I'm not saying that they're gonna put him in a group, but he really doesn't feel like a group type of person, does Moxley. He feels like he's just loner that doesn't care if he gets beat up or not. He just wants to fight. That's what
right.
he feels like.
Yeah, Moxley's not a guy who's going to belong to a group. We know where that's going, Todd, but it's still kind of interesting to watch the Jericho thing unfold with him.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, with Moxley there, I don't think as well he's going to fit in as a group in the inner circle with Jericho and them. I think you're going to see like a little double cross there with Jericho.
Yeah, we're going to get to Jericho Moxley eventually. It's just this, you know, they're building it up, which is good. MJF does a great promo in this episode, by the way. He's got to be one of the better promos, really, in wrestling. Got to be one of the better ones. And this was after, of course, Butcher and the Blade actually beat QT Marshall and Cody. Look, here's the deal. We know where we're going. We're getting to Cody's big match with MJF. But him saying there's some stipulations that I'm not going to reveal, him going real personal on Cody Rhodes, this is all just adding to your ability to suspend your disbelief. I can't stress this enough. I've said this on the show a bazillion times. My real worry with AEW was that they were going to try to present this product as, here are two guys legitimately fighting. They don't hate each other. There's no real animosity. It's just who's going to win. You may like this guy better than this guy. This guy may not be to your liking. He may talk trash. There may be other things, factors you don't like about him. But basically, we're going to present this as a real fight, a real sporting event. And I said, if they do that, it's not going to work. No one's going to watch it. Not for long, anyway. And fortunately, that's not what they're doing at all. Not at all. When we see a guy like this take the microphone and really sell this fight, we understand this is what pro wrestling is actually about. Damn the 5-star moves. What got the biggest pop, one of the biggest pops in the Leo Rush Angel Garza match? Was it the ridiculously athletic, you know, flips and dives? Not really. You know what got the big pop? When they just started hammering each other, when they just said enough, and they just started wailing on each other, and the crowd was popping because it looked real and it felt real, and people said, that's what I would do if I was so aggravated with this guy. I wouldn't be trying to plancha him. I'd be trying to punch him in the face. And fans can then suspend their disbelief. Fans go into an arena knowing everything we're going to watch today is predetermined. By the time they say, welcome to the show, everyone knows who's winning and losing backstage. You don't, but they do. So you're just going to watch their story. You're just going to watch their script. But if you take it like that, pro wrestling to watch becomes pointless. You have to take it like a movie. And they have to make you suspend your disbelief. When you see somebody in the audience stand up during, like, I don't know, Die Hard and say, no, no, don't do that, you know they got you. Or a horror movie and they say, don't go in there, what's wrong with you? You know they got you. Because those people paid to see this movie and they know damn well nobody's getting killed. They know that's an actor. They know that's an actress. They know that's not real. But you've reached them emotionally. They have suspended their disbelief to the point where they're yelling at the screen, don't do this or don't go in there. That's what pro wrestling is. That's why pro wrestling is not a sport. It is an exhibition. It's a play. It's a movie. When someone like MJF can do this on the microphone, it helps. It helps tremendously. And fans can buy into that. And that's why this is a vital, vital part of pro wrestling, and one that I thought AEW was not going to utilize. So, Mike, I'm happy to see they are, because it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I'm happy to see they are as well. And look, here's the thing about MJF. You know, they, for a long time, they were making a point that he's a friend. He's a friend to Cody Rhodes. Yeah, he turned, but he was a friend. He was a bad guy, but he was a friend to Cody Rhodes. I can very easily see a branch on the on that tree where at some point, when Cody Rhodes decides he wants to go after that title again and get it, that at some point he turns on the Inner Circle and turns on what's his name and goes back with Cody Rhodes. I can see that branch.
No question. There's absolutely no question. I mean, you could write it, couldn't you? You could write it that MJF is maybe the weak link in that Inner Circle. And at some point, all of Jericho's guys just team up on him and say, you're out. You're garbage. And they beat the freak out of him, and Cody Rhodes comes down and make the save. And there's that moment when MJF realizes, hey, after everything I've done to this guy, he's the only person who came out to help me. Of course, you can, it writes itself. This is what I'm trying to tell you, folks. You are being told constantly by promoters and wrestlers, oh, you don't know, the sport is very complex. It's very deep. It's extraordinarily interwoven. If you don't know the business, you can't possibly. Please. It's as easy as A, B, C. There is no business, none, zero business, easier the script than professional wrestling. So for the rocket scientists who are telling you storylines are very hard and it's a very complex thing to get a legitimate feud going, wrong. You're morons. It's very, 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 very easy. It's called how do we manipulate the fans in a psychological manner? If you don't understand, the problem is, if you're someone who says the fans don't matter, of course you can't write a goddamn script. That's why I'm trying to tell you that the fans are the only thing that does matter. When I would write something for a professional wrestling organization, I would say, what is going to make the fans go, oh, shit. Didn't see that coming, or oh man, is this going to be good? Or what would cause them to tear up? What would cause them to show emotion? What would cause them to cheer? And you exploit it. But that means you have to have your finger on the pulse of your own fan base. And if you don't have that, you can't do it. You could be a gourmet cook, but if you don't know what people like that's coming to your restaurant, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You have to have your finger on the pulse of the people who are paying to see what you do. You don't have to do that if you're a football team. There's not one football, baseball, hockey, whatever team who says, I'm going to make this move because I think the fans would like this. Because then you are not doing your job. Your job is to do the very best thing you can do for your team, irregardless of what the fans say. That's where pro wrestling makes their mistake. They think they're one of those. You're not. Get it out of your head. And we'll all be better off for it. I think AEW understands that a little bit better than the WWE. And they better wake up quick. But what I worry about more than that is the independent wrestlers and the way they're being taught and their mindset. Because a ton of these independent wrestlers are coming out with that mindset that, oh, you just ignore the fans, go do your match. Ignore the fans, go do your match. Who's giving you that advice? That's the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. You could forget five spots in your match. And if you can cover it by arguing with the fans, getting the fans into it, making the fans almost want to riot or cheer you or whatever it is, you did fine. You did fine. Because that's all that counts. That's where the difference is. Anyway, what else happens in AEW, Butcher and Blade over QT Marshall and Cody? We talked about that. Darby Allin coming out afterwards to help Cody up. That could lead to something. The big MJF spot we talked about. The only other really major thing to talk about, I guess, is the Bucks over Ortiz and Sanchez. They're going to be the number one contenders for the tag team belt. And of course, that weird thing that happened with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, where it appears that Page is getting a little overzealous and Omega is getting a little aggravated with him for stealing the pin after making a blind tag and seeming a little overzealous. I don't know where that's leading. I would imagine that's leading to Omega versus Hangman Page at some point. We got Joey Janela in there with Tully Blanchard. There was a whole bunch of stuff going on there, but this is what I'm talking about when I say branches on the tree. And this is why Cody Rhodes said, and we took it the wrong way. All of us took it the wrong way. When Cody Rhodes said, we don't need writers, I said, this is a disaster. It's a disaster. He's just going to bring guys out and say, Mr. A fights Mr. B. And people are going to be like, what the fuck is this? What he really meant was, writers are overrated. We already know how to work the crowd. We know our audience. We know what our audience wants. We will psychologically work the crowd, but we don't need writers to tell us how to do it. That's what he meant. I thought he meant we're not going to do anything that's scripty or feudish or storyline. We're not going to do any of those things. When in reality, all he meant was, it's almost like saying I don't need a doctor because I know how to close up my wound. Or I don't need a mechanic because I know how to fix this with my car. Doesn't mean I'm going to ignore the problem. It means I know how to do it. And they do know how to do it. And they're doing fine. They're doing fine. And if you're a writer in the WWE, you got to be sitting there going, what the hell, man? If you're Vince McMahon, you got to say they have no writers. And yet, look what they're coming up with, which is technically better than what we're coming up with. So why are we hiring writers? If you can fix your car better than a mechanic, if every time you fix your car, it runs fine, every time you take it to the mechanic, it spits and sputters for 6 weeks and you have to take it back, are you going to go back to the mechanic and keep fixing it yourself? Well, the bottom line is these guys, these wrestlers are doing a much better job of doing their storylines than the writers are in WWE. And that's a problem. I said this NXT show would probably be the best one ever because you had the number one contenders match, which was very important. And you got your three top guys in there, really. And it was a great match. And I didn't even know that Lio Rush and Garza was going to tear the house down like they did. A-plus match for sure. But AEW still managed to be better because in between those things, NXT was a bit flat. And over on the other show, where there wasn't a lot of what I would call A-plus matches, it never went flat. It percolated very well. You say, that wasn't too good of a match, but it led to this. Or, okay, that match was very predictable. We knew Cody wasn't winning in the tag team match, but look what it led to. It not only led to MJF coming down and cutting the promo, but Darby Allin kind of extending his hand. We'll see what happens there. Okay, we gave you a goofy ending to the match with Ty Dillinger, or Sean Spears. We gave you a goofy ending to that match, but look what it's leading to. Is there going to be trouble between Paige and Omega? And what's going on with Janela and Tully Blanchard? We always talked about branches on the tree, Mike. Even when AEW gives you a so-so match, it's to further the branches on the tree for future matches, and that's a positive sign.
Right, and think about this. We talk about how bad AEW's women's division is, but I'm liking this big Swole. You know, I'm liking her. You know, I heard her on the mic, and then I watched her in the ring, and it surprised the hell out of me that they gave her the win over Emi Sakura. But
yeah.
She has something. She has that it.
Well, they're going to need her, but they're going to need more than that because we didn't talk much about the Brandi Rhodes thing. It's not working. It's the same thing as the Dark Order was doing. Why are you doing two things that's exactly the same on the same show? It's exactly the same. That does not show versatility. That just shows, well, we'll mirror what they did only in the women's division. No. That's not working. They need to refocus and rethink that. But almost everything else they're doing is working fine. It's working fine. Because they have a natural instinct for, well, they have their finger on the pulse of their fan base. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. Where I think the WWE, the promoting attitude of the WWE is the fans are lucky to watch what we give them. And their input is not needed. Whereas I think AEW is saying, what would our fans really be into? What would make our fans sit up and say, maybe Moxley joining with Jericho and having Jericho bring up WWE stuff. Maybe Paige acting a little bit like a hot shot and Omega saying, oh, what's going on? Even though they're two very popular guys. Darby Allin maybe embracing Cody Rhodes, but is Cody Rhodes really ready to be betrayed by yet another person? And it could happen. How far is MJF going to go before his mouth gets him into trouble with the inner circle? And who's going to be there to pick up the pieces? There's a lot going on in AEW. Food for thought. Whereas in the WWE, it's let's go watch the inevitable. Let's go watch what we already know is going to happen. Now, I had someone tell me, look, the thing with Seth Rollins, they were going to stretch that out. But Seth Rollins, I guess, was injured or something. And they wanted to do a match, but he couldn't. So they just said, well, we'll do this instead. Look, that's no excuse. There's a million things you could have done. A million things you could have done. It's no excuse to rush an angle. None. Do you think for 1 minute that if AEW had a situation by which people were saying, is Cody Rhodes turning heel? Is him and Jericho going to get together? That seems like Cody, and there's a guy running around in a mask that sure looks like Cody. You think they're going to reveal it the same week or the next week? They're going to stretch that bad boy out for a month, probably more than a month, probably 2 months. So for that reason alone, I'm going to go with AEW as winning this week, Todd. I'm going to give the AEW show a slightly better rating than NXT.
I'm with you on that, too. And like you said, AEW wins this week again for me as well.
What was your thoughts, Mike? Now, I'm not saying NXT was a bad show. You can't have a bad show and have a match like Lio Rush and Angel Garza. That was fantastic. And certainly the feature match was fantastic. But I do think that middle really hit some major snags.
Yeah, and that's the reason I'm going to kind of give it, you know, kind of give it like a B- and give what you call it a little bit better with a B+ because of the flatness in between two great things. Whereas,
yep,
you know, it was more of an up and down battle. AEW knows how to play with your emotions.
Yes. Here's a great example of how AEW and WWE operates on a wavelength that's so different, because they don't, I don't think the WWE understands their fans. There had to be a meeting that in which someone said, Elias is ready to wrestle again. He's not injured. Let's bring him back as a face, though, because fans seem to like him. And everyone said, yes, that's a good idea. How will we reintroduce him? Well, I know. Let's have big, bad, giant, menacing Drake Maverick, whose entire gimmick was he's so in love with his wife, all he wants to do is consummate the marriage, but he has to win that belt back. Let's turn him into a cheater who doesn't care about consummating the marriage anymore, or even his wife, and hit on Dana Brooke, who no one cares about because she's never on television. And then Elias will come out of nowhere and insult him and pick on him and spank him and claim to have slept with his wife, but he'll be a good guy. Marcus Kane would be in the room raising his hand saying, morons, that doesn't make Elias look good. That does not make Elias look good. How about if Elias comes out and sings some kind of ridiculous thing about Baron Corbin being a king? How about if he comes out and sings something horrible about Dolph Ziggler or one of these other guys? I'm all for using Drake Maverick, but I'm not against Elias, unless you've got Drake Maverick going to bring in somebody. And then if he's going to bring in somebody, the time to have done that was when he challenged Elias to a fight, and Elias should have never made it to the ring, because whoever it was would come out, beat the hell out of him, terrorize Dana Brooke. And then Elias would be cheered. You think AEW would have done that? No, because they would have spotted that mistake and say, wait a minute, I think our fans would probably think Elias spanking Drake Maverick is really a heelish and dumb thing and not something that they'd laugh about. And also, let's not have him say anything about sleeping with his wife, because that makes him look just as bad as Drake Maverick. No. So let's not go there. Let's do this a different way. Let's make Elias the sympathetic character, not Drake Maverick the sympathetic character, because isn't Drake supposed to be the heel? Cody and company get that. The writers in the WWE, they're clueless, because they are not fans. I'm telling you right now, they're not fans. And they look at the fan base and say, I don't know, we gave them what they wanted. Elias came out and you know, he's a good guy. Why aren't they not connecting with it? Because you didn't give us a reason to. Subtlety, my friends. In today's world, everyone would have cheered Andre the Giant for tearing off Hulk Hogan's cross. Yay, here's Andre the Giant. He's going to beat up Hogan. Yay, good. But the thing was, the deciding factor in that whole thing is no one hated Hulk Hogan more than Roddy Piper. The characters supposedly despised each other. And Roddy Piper have no sympathy for Hulk Hogan and would delight in anything that taught Hogan a lesson. And even Piper looked very stoic. And all he had to say to Hogan, as Hogan's picking up the cross, is, you're bleeding. Realizing this is a grave situation. This is not good. That sold it. That brought it home. Today, there is no subtlety like that. Because they think, in your eyes, a guy who claims he slept with somebody else's wife, makes up stories about him, sings it out loud, goes into a ring when he's 2 foot taller and 150 pounds heavier, mocks him by just holding his head and letting him swing at him, and then spanks him like he's a little child, is a hero. Because that's so much better than simply hitting on a single girl when you're married. It doesn't make sense. But this is the disconnect the writers have with the fans. This is the huge disconnect. They don't get it. The writer's job is not to come up with brilliant ideas that they all high-five each other over and say, isn't that brilliant? Their job is to say, what are these fans? How do we tonight get these fans to go, oh, my God. How do we do that? And, Mike, consistently they don't because they're not fans.
Well, they're not fans. And look, you know, yeah, you can make a point about Cody Rhodes and what you call it and Dustin and stuff. But yeah, they grew up in the business, but ultimately, and yeah, Dustin has said some stupid things of late, but ultimately, you can believe that they're fans, both of the Rhodeses, they're fans, you know, and
yeah.
And they know what, they seem to know what fans want, and they ultimately give it to them, you know. That's the thing that's different. There aren't many fans in that writer's room at the WWE.
Mike, I don't think there's any. That's the problem. I just don't think there's any. Or if they are, their voices are being silenced. What you need is someone who has their the fans' pulse and says, this is what the fans would really pop for. Let's go in this direction. Without people saying, it doesn't matter. We'll take them in this direction and they'll like it. No, no, no. Why do you keep trying to steer the boat when it's floating in the direction you want it to go? Just let the fans decide. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what you think. Ultimately, it does not matter. If you say to yourself, I have no idea why the fans like this guy. I don't think he's a good wrestler. I don't think he's good on the mic. I think he's a disaster. But the fans are all buying his t-shirt. They're all buying into his gimmick. I don't understand why you just don't say, well, okay, run with it. What do we got to lose? If this is what they want, give it to them. It's self-destructive. Over in AEW, they test the waters. They test the waters. They're testing the waters with some of these things. What's this Darby Allin thing going to be? Well, let's see which way the fans go. Are the fans going to go, yeah, we want to see Cody and Darby as a team and maybe Darby Allin against MJF? Or maybe we want to see that Darby Allin might be playing Cody. There's ways they can go with this. And they're going to wait and see which ways the boat is floating as far as the fans are concerned. And then maybe they'll steer it the opposite direction and say, swerved you. Or maybe they'll say, give the fans what they want. But either way, they're considering the fans as they make their decisions. So when Cody Rhodes, year and a half ago, whenever it was, said we don't need writers, and I mistakenly thought he meant there wasn't going to be scripts and there wasn't going to be feuds and storylines. He meant we got it covered. We know how to write. We don't need to hire separate writers when we're all here, you know, understanding the business. And he's absolutely right about that. Absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings do because, of course, NXT's won 2 weeks in a row now. So the ratings will be coming out shortly. And if they win 3 weeks in a row, well, now AEW really has to consider why are we not maintaining our fan base? What is it that we're doing that's driving more fans to watch either NXT or just not turn on our show? So we'll see. I got a feeling AEW is going to win this week. Because I think even if the fans turned on for the Lio Rush match, I think after that they probably flicked over to AEW. And they probably kept it on AEW for a longer period of time, maybe went back to see the feature match of NXT. That's my gut feeling. So we'll see what ends up happening. But in reality, as a pro wrestling show, not just the quality of matches, but as